May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 986. Ho, poor, distressed, thirsty song, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free. Come, drink and never die. 986.
Let us read together from the Gospel according to St. John, from chapter 17, the 17th chapter, the Gospel according to St. John. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We leave the reading there. Amen. The Lord, we do see that prayer which is of the Lord indicted throughout from beginning to end. We may seek unto thee by thy grace, and come, Lord, in the spirit of the hymn. Thou wilt help our sins and all our infirmities and unbelief. Oh, at the throne of grace we would make known our utter unworthiness, and our sin that doth so easily beset us. We would come, Lord, seeking something for it, thee, Lord, to have mercy, and put away our sin as far as the east is from the west. May we be granted, Lord, that gracious help to believe. All that sin of unbelief is so very great, and we pray that thou put it away. And grant us, Christ, the friend of poor sinners. Lord, do come this morning hour, and grant us that sweet indicting of the Holy Spirit of God, unmistakable. Lord, to grant it deeply in our hearts, that move in our hearts Godward, heavenward. May we be enabled, Lord, to plead that worthy name, and may we lay hold upon thee by faith, and we pray, Lord, that thou gather us around thy word. Lord, we have such hearts that are deceitful above all things, but gather us yet unto thee. Lord, do come and lead the captivity captive. Give gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Oh, we do seek, Lord, to plead that worthy name. And plead it, Lord, with faith in our hearts, that thou would hear us for Jesus' sake. May the dear little ones, the younger ones, be able to know that worthy name. And we would pray that thou would touch young hearts and older hearts. Oh, the loveliness of the name of Christ, that glorious person of Jesus. And so, Lord, may we pray that thou wilt remember each one, from the youngest to the oldest. We desire, Lord, that thou wilt help us to plead for all in trouble, afflictions, path and sorrow. Our heart goes up to thee, Lord, for one in the home, and pray that thou wilt help us to lay her at thy feet. We say, Lord, that thou art arise, and grant that thou art answer those cries unto thee. May our friend have many cries too. We ask, Lord, that thou art remember our friend at the desk. We thank thee for him this morning and pray that thou art graciously help him and be with him, and our brother also that has been with us. We pray that thou hear his prayer and his desires. Are they not all before thee? Remember those that are away from us. Lord, be watching over them, and remember those that have their younger ones at this time. And do grant, Lord, that help of God where they may seek to rest in thy truth today. We desire, Lord, that thou to remember seekers. What is a place of prayer without seekers? Oh, do grant thy blessing upon those that seek thee as for hid treasure. And yet thou canst break through the power of unbelief. But Lord, do remember the poor and the needy, those that have got nothing to show but sin, like the lepers of old, all defiled, unclean, unclean. We pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing today upon thy word, both this morning and this evening, as we anticipate the sermon to be read. So grant that gracious help. Remember our own cause. Remember the causes round about, and do grant thy blessing. Oh, we do pray that there may be a gracious knowledge of the Lord, like the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Oh, and that bestirring, that seeking hard unto thee, and that thou wilt grant that fullness of thy grace to those that are feeling to be quite out of the secrets. Oh, come, Lord, remember the poor and the needy, those that feel to have no helper. Bless the Sabbath school. Grant thy gracious help there, and may there be encouragements too. May it please thee, Lord, to come and grant that here, and there's places in our heart too, that there may be that sweet moving of the Spirit, when the love of Christ is in sweet exercise and there is that desire to speak well of him. Oh, it is set at naught today. Oh, do come, Lord. Raise up the decayed places. May there be the love of Christ sweetly known, and may there be much speaking of him. Oh, how we do pray that thou come over the mountains and do remove the stumbling blocks, remove them far away, and grant, O Lord, there may be that knowledge of Jesus that fills their heart and grants that love to Jesus and his commandments. Oh, we pour out our heart before thee. We seek, Lord, that thou remember our land. Have mercy upon us, overrule, hear us, in heaven thy dwelling place. And, O Lord, what things prevail and what dreadful sins are belonging to us, and the increase of those God-defying things. Lord, we pray that thou have mercy upon us. So hear us, Lord, for our own land and other lands too. Or do bind those that would seek to bring death and destruction. And do grant, O Lord, a little of that kingdom of God that passeth knowledge. And do hear us, Lord, that thou would remember us in our own land with things like the clouds that seem to gather and the sorrows that abound. Hear us, Lord, regarding the European issues. And we pray that thou go on, Lord, to arise, and thou to appear, May our poor prayers be up to thee for thy gracious help, Lord, once more, and even at this time. Help us to be thankful in our thankfulness. What cause have we, Lord, to remember thy kindness and thy goodness? Cause we have to think that thou hast not left us, but brought us hitherto. And oh, so often, we're very cast down. We pray, Lord, nevertheless, for a thankful heart, from sin set free. Help us, Lord, to plead that worthy name, high in heaven above. Sweet glories of his name to the saints above, and oh, to the saints beneath, may he be more precious. Lord, remember us as we seek there may be some dew from heaven upon the branch, some vital application. Lord, it's the word of the Lord with power, and the kingdom of God to be sweetly known in poor sinners' hearts, that they might be delivered from sin and bondage and corruption, and able to rejoice in thee and take down their heart from the willows, loud to the praise of Christ away. Arise, Lord, do appear. Come, we pray. We ask that thou wilt soon appear and remember us in every burden and care. And as we come before thee, Lord, do not leave us. The words finally spoken or any repetition that is so comely, but we want real things. We want the Lord to be with us. We plead for thy mercy. Seek that thou wilt come. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And thou hearest, forgive. And Lord, may none feel left out. So we ask that thou wilt receive us graciously in the beloved. We would plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 668. Jehovah God, eternal Lord Most High, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but please the blood that did for sin atone. 668.
by the help of God, we'll turn with you to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. The 12th chapter, the epistle to the Hebrews. We read from verse 25 onwards, and our text is taken in verse 27. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. This is to characters. Whomsoever God will call. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. If they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. This is to thee sweet comfort, the Lord's people. Whose voice then shook the earth? And now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, also heaven or the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now we must direct you to the verse 27 especially. This word, or his word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things which cannot be shaken may remain. It may be rather surprising that we have read from that sweet chapter in John chapter 17. And friends, in my thoughts and my heart, I hope there is that thought that that sweet prayer supports the church of God for all eternity. Supports those that seek his face. Proclaims the sweet mercy of God to poor sinners. Proclaims exactly how God can hear the cry of the poor and the needy. It's through the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. That's how we would see it to direct you this morning here. The epistle is a very sacred part of God's word indeed. Many things have been spoken from these words, especially of the kingdom of Jesus and those that are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He speaks to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. But then to speak so sweetly of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, have we not been singing of him? And his precious blood, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And these words of when you settle on my mind here, and I desire to speak from them as we might find a few of those things, friends, that just cannot be shaken by God himself, but rather also to speak of those things that are shaken and removed. How solemn. Those things that God will not shake are the things belonging to that sweet chapter and the prayer unto the Lord, his Father, of the sweet, glorious truth of Christ. Praying for these, he says, I pray. I pray not for the world. Those are the things that matter. The substance of it is that which belongs to the church of the living God, and those characters that are brought to pray and still need the Lord to help them. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I think that could be spoken of as the preach word, that they all may be one, Jew and Gentile, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Now that's how we seek to come to these words especially. Those things that God has set up from all eternity in God the Father, that God should dwell with man. In the counsels of Jehovah, before man fell and sin entered into the world, this blessed covenant drawn up, the counsels of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the salvation of the church of the living God, to be made manifest in due time. That great and glorious truth is, as it were, the substance of that prayer, as if the dear Redeemer speaks of that work given to him. You may notice how it's as if he has to seek especially for that church of God in his great trouble. The hour is come, he says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It's as if the church of God is so much in his heart, he has to bring it with that love by which the surety loves those given to him. And that from all eternity. These are great, glorious doctrines, friends. And they're supported, as it were. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, the sum of them. And Christ received that great work with such love and obedience unto his Father to bring it to pass, to fulfill all those covenant blessings which are appointed to the church. They all rest on the finished work of Jesus. Oh, but how we might notice the Lord speaking of this church, this people has been given to him, and he speaks of that prayer over them. It's a sweet thought, isn't it? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also. It is the church of God, the saints of God that are gathered in, so wretched and undone, so unlikely, unworthy, haters of God himself. Blasphemers. That would have sinned away the Holy Spirit but for such mercy to sinners, they know not what they do. Perhaps some of you can look back, wonder, that the Lord has not cut you off, as you may be able to look back. You ran the ways of sin, copied the world, ran with it, opposite to God himself, even gloried in it. But friends, what has God's grace done? We might be amongst those that know these words. I have prayed for them. Speak so much in the epistle of that glorious truth of Christ the mediator, and that precious blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. These things are set forth in God's word in one particular way, friends, it's for those that God has called by the new birth, powerfully, effectually, although it may be over many years perhaps. These things rest, if only I could preach it, rest so sweetly upon the dear Redeemer, and that sweet prayer of intercession, and that undertaking of that great work of redemption near to his heart. Oh, the obedience that filled the dear Redeemer's heart to fulfill that sweet word of God and the gathering in of his people. Is that where your religion rests and mine? And what the dear Redeemer has prayed over, what the Lord Jesus has made known before his sufferings, and entered into the greatness of that conquest over sin and hell, the grave, and oh, the curse of the law, and he has prevailed. Friends, where is our little hope resting? Is it in our chapel going? And is it that, well, they think quite nicely of us? Or is it, well, we've got a nice front, a nice show, friends? It's that eye of God, isn't it? Pierces. Oh, and the Lord grant us that we might be set down so sweetly on that finished work of Christ for poor sinners. In that obedience, oh, the condescension of his love, the way in which he came for such poor souls as we, as the hymn writer says. Well, I want to come a little further. We must notice in the setting of our text, the Lord speaks here of the things by prophecy, and Haggai even, and those things that should come upon the earth, that there is a greater matter, and that is how the Lord speaks of that time when he'll shake not the earth only, but also heaven, or the heaven. Well, friends, that takes the ground away from any that think they're perhaps safe because they don't know the truths of God. Because they don't believe that there's no law for them. Because that they do not comprehend that there's some mitigation. No, friends. The law naturally is the law, isn't it? How much more? The law of God. Oh, what a solemn matter it is to be found guilty, brought in so, without an advocate. And so we speak of those things that are coming upon the earth when only God's word will stand. And that's where we want to come. These things we read of that cannot be shaken may remain. Well, the covenant, the sweet truth of it. Oh, how it stands, and God himself is the author and finisher of faith. All those things should be removed. The hypocrite's hope. The one that thinks he's good enough and needs not any help of God, or those that rest on a sandy foundation. We have it concerning the kingdom of God, do we not? In the Gospels. But in time, great was the fall of it. That is, concerning that house built upon the sand, however splendid, have I looked up to? Friends, the matter is this. It's whether it's on the rock or not. It's whether we are found amongst those that have been brought to Jesus only. Oh, is he our only hope, our foundation, the foundation of God stand is sure. We have it in his word, friends. I come to it. Those things that are settled cannot be removed nor shaken. Oh, it's his sweet eternal word, isn't it? Oh, it speaks of it in God's word, that his word shall stand. The hymn writer takes it up. His word shall stand, his truth prevail, not one jot nor tittle fail. Oh, it's one of those things we would speak of for a moment, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. His blessed word. There's a scripture about it. It may come to my mind. Oh, do you bless God that his word is the eternal word of the eternal God. Nothing shall fall of what he has spoken. All shall come to pass. Thy word is settled in heaven. Or is that what you rest upon? Or that finished work of Christ, even in the covenant and the way in which it was entered into. Surely the Father set up his own dear beloved Son, that those things cannot be shaken, that may remain, according to the sweet word of his grace. Is that what you rest upon? Now, experimentally. Oh, friends, is there not that need of the Lord to speak? Some say, well, I do need the Lord to speak these things. Well, it's a good exercise. But you know, there are many things said that aren't really without any real desire. Or is it a living desire? I without him perish must. Speak the word only. Oh, grant me such a resting place for my poor soul, that I may be found resting upon Christ Jesus, and that it may be well with me. I don't know, perhaps there are many that may say, well, I'm very poor, but oh, I do seek after this. I do need the Lord to hear my poor prayer. I do need the Lord to be my all in all. Well, friends, such are those that are called by grace divine into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, of which the Father is the Son, the author of it, given to Christ. And those that belong to it are safely given, sweetly given, that none shall fall. And it's that sweet truth, isn't it? The word of God sweetly binds up that poor church of God in all their troubles and all their sin and guilt. Must hasten. Oh, his word, his covenant, his truth. As if you had to fall on it. Do you have to say, Lord, that's all I've got. I must seek to rest my all on that worthy name. This is not such an easy thing, but it's a blessed thing. There's that leaning upon the beloved. Coming up from the wilderness. Seeking the Lord to be pleased to hold up the poor and needy. And those that are prone to wander, the hymn writer says. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Are there any like that this morning? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Oh, that heavenly prayer and the intercession on high. Oh, the Lord, grant those sweet encouragements. And to pray and to Hear that word, pray without ceasing. Now, there's a fine line, friends. It's that prayer unto repentance and confession. A prayer that is indicted by the Lord. It's made known in wretched sinners' hearts. It's all of grace. It's the kingdom of it, isn't it? The word of God speaks of it in this sweet application. Oh, that he has laid an excellent store of fullness for poor sinners to plead, however bad, however ruined, but with heart relenting, seeking unto the Lord. And he brings many things, doesn't he, to cause us to pray and seek him. Natural providences, things in the business, but then is it your soul as well? You have to go to the same place, don't you? Ah, oh, Lord Jesus, help me now. Undertake for me. All I've got is what thou canst give. All I've got is what the Lord may do. Perhaps in providences, certainly in grace. But we have the kingdom of God set forth in the word of the text. Oh, bless God indeed. The Lord help us to sweetly rest upon those things that cannot be shaken, that remain. And I must just speak of something else, and that is that great work and device and power also of Satan. What is it to remove a poor sinner from his God? That's the extent of it. He can remove one Christ has prayed over. If he could but turn away one living soul from the fountainhead, from the throne of grace, well, friends, he's got his end, hasn't he? No! It says in that sweet hymn, that chapter, how the Lord prays for his dear people. Have you been glad of that psalm, that hymn, that chapter? Lord, praying over the poor and the needy. And those that have got nothing, but what may be in that sweet prayer for them. I dare say, friends, if we've got no love to that chapter, we're in a very, very sad place indeed. No desire for it. Why, it's a sweet word, isn't it, of the Lord to his dear people. Neither pray I for these alone. And then I want to hasten. It's this kingdom of God that is spoken of. We receive in a kingdom. That is, that cannot be shaken. How the devil would seek to come. We live in a day when the extent of man, it seems so solemn, is to remove God's word from the land, the statute book, from natural things, and so on. Oh, the devices. Oh, the schemes. The delight in poor man to seek to remove God's word and the truth of it. And so it is deep within, isn't it? Oh, the power of Satan. I think it's been said he has a lot to work on. Oh, the way in which he comes in like a flood, or even as an angel of light, God's dear people, they scarce know where they are sometimes. Oh, he never asleep, is he, the great adversary? Oh, if he can get in, if he can divide, or if he can bring some dreadful error and hoist it up, and so Satan is in it all. Oh, friends, our desire is to cleave to the scripture, the sweet truth that are in God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, what's the remedy? It's in God, friends. Those things which cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. God indeed will not shake his people off that sweet foundation. I was thinking of it in the hymn. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. I will not desert to his foes that soul, though all hell, that's it, isn't it, should endeavour to shake. Some of you know what it is. Oh, the way he shakes the poor soul with those thoughts and temptations that, after all, they are soon be found where hope can never be. They'll soon be found to be amongst those that God has never chosen. They'll soon be lost forever. But what a grief of mind is it? It is. Lord, do prevent it by thy grace. So though hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never forsake. Sweet words. Really, it's in our text. As things that are shaken, as the things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, there is much I haven't touched upon. The Trinity of person, glorious work and witness of the Spirit of God, taking of those things that cannot be shaken, revealing them with that sweetness and power. The poor, tried, troubled child of God, that he can hardly seem to make his way to the throne of grace sometimes, but maybe looking upwards, seeking hard after him, as those that are so much in want, so much in need of the Lord himself. Well, friends, much could be said of the scheme of man and the work of Satan, but it wouldn't really deliver anyone, would it? Except they might say, well, I know what the man's speaking about. You might say, well, I'm glad to hear one feels like I do, but you want the remedy, don't you? You need the Lord to come and grant you that lifting up and that sweetness of his saving name. Well, the Lord grants it in the gospel, friends, it's nowhere else. The Lord Jesus spoke much of the kingdom of God, pressing into it. You may read of it much in the sweet word of his grace. The Father's kingdom, and the way in which the Lord speaks of that entering into it. He likens it unto the sheep entering into the sheepfold, counted in. And so, friends, those that are given to Christ, each one, are loved of God. Loved of God ere time began. And there's one particular application. It's the Spirit's work to bring these truths deeply into the heart. There is that knowledge of sin and ruin, the effects of it, and also the curse it brings in. The Spirit is pleased to teach the things of God, friends. If there are any that say, well, I don't know about that place, it It's not quite as I would like, but the truth is preached. Friends, we don't need to be careful. We want to know if the Lord is there by his Spirit. Oh, does he reveal that deep need of Christ? Is that need supplied in the preaching and lifting up the dear Redeemer? I must hasten. I've got so much wrong with my own ministry. But it's that witness of the Spirit, taking of the things of Jesus in the covenant, the Father's will and purpose and the obedience of Christ, taking of those things and revealing them to a poor sinner called by grace and greatly in need of mercy. Greatly in need of the Lord to bring those things as only God can. Well, it's the blessed work of the Spirit. What a sweet truth it is. The Spirit to reveal the things that not only are shaken, things that are not, but the things that cannot be shaken. Well, those are the things that belong to the gospel and the kingdom of God. Well, friends, the matter is this. It speaks of those things which cannot be shaken that may remain. I want to speak experimentally as God may help me. It is perhaps contained in a very few lines sometimes. When there's a short text, the Lord blesses. When there's a sweetness in that saving name. I've said it before, but when I was seeking very much the Lord and his mercy, those words were powerfully brought to my soul. I was working and I had to hide my head under a car wing, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, it filled my heart, friends, with wonder and godly sorrow. Oh, to know a little of it sweetly. Sweet visit, the Lord. What are they to you and me? Why, they're those things which belong to the Lord and our souls. Friends, they're written, aren't they? On the tables of your hearts. You not forget them. Perhaps a sweet line of a hymn that God has impressed in your heart with that power and that witness that you feel that poor as you are, you have to seek unto the Lord as your only hope and also to lay claim upon him as the worst, yes, the very worst of sinners. On Jesus' aid rely. Sometimes it might be a very short text the minister preaches from, or a word and line perhaps for him, and the Lord accompanies it. Is it so? Now, Satan would seek to shake the Lord's people from it and say, well, it's emotion. It's just because the circumstances were so and so. And, but friends, as the Lord granted you the renewing of it, say, ah, oh, that's when my soul lived. That's when I could call the Lord my own, much with desire, but also with assurance. There is that drawing upwards, like the sun drawing the plants as they grow at this time, draws them upwards to the light and the truth. Out you have to come from the ways of the world. things that once pleased your heart, and some of us went a long way in the ways of sin and ruin. Although I knew the truth, I might present myself before circumspect on the Sabbath, or not even so circumspect at one time. But friends, has the Lord drawn you by his love? What doest thou here? Has he brought you to the throne of grace? Well, that cannot move. It's the same, isn't it? It is that truth as it is in the gospel, setting up the throne of grace in a poor sinner's heart. Oh, you have to keep going to the throne. To keep going and saying, Lord, I'm so much in need of my grace. And that's in our text. I do so much need the Lord to assure my conscience of its part. But you don't have to go into the world for the answer, do you? You have to creep beside him. We've sung about it, haven't we? You have to come, but so lowly, feeling it would be a mercy to be able to know the Lord, and to be lifted clean out of your trouble. Maybe naturally, but also we would speak spiritually, that soul that descends into that awful place of despair, or near despair, but sometimes the dear saints of God feel there's a step betwixt them and death, spiritual death. And it's that sweet truth in it, friends, that penetrates the lie, doesn't it? Satan is the father of lies. Oh, so many thoughts about that. But he cannot remove a poor sinner from his God. He may speak and breathe and condemn, but friends, as soon as the Lord's people are able to seek at the mercy seat, that's when the Lord is near. He'll soon appear at the mercy seat. Those that know the sweet truth of it in our text, those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So we speak doctrinally for a moment. The throne of grace remains. Oh, it stands. What a mercy. And then there are those that know the sweet truth of it. It's like their second nature, if I may speak simply. They have to go to the throne of grace. And we've had to do that in family troubles. I mean sicknesses. And there's that bowing the knee and seeking the Lord. He might soon appear. Is that pleading his name? It's above every name, isn't it? Not for our righteousness' sake, but that bringing it before him, that as it were, laying it at his feet and plead what Christ has done. Friends, those answers of peace are very precious, aren't they, when he puts his hand to it. And he says in the hymn, ask what thou wilt and it shall be done. But it needs a believing heart. When he takes the matter in hand, friends, fresh troubles and sorrows and temptation. Well, the Lord is near. I think it was spoken in prayer, very precious Psalm number 20. The Lord hear thee. Well, it's Psalm 20, isn't it? The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and that's Christ, and strengthen thee out of Zion. It's repeated just recently, wasn't it? Friends, it's that truth about it. Christ near to his praying people, although they've sinned against him, though they have sinned against their friend, to plead that worthy name. Now, there's a few things in that truth, friends. What Christ is from all eternity, he is eternally the same. No change in him. Faithful friend. He may chide, he may correct, but his love is the same. Oh, do you know something of it? You have to say, well, that love that restores us, that mercy that restores us, transportingly sweet. Oh, but when his love reaches the heart, what a love there is to Christ. We love him because he first loved us. And then I want to notice it experimentally. Friends, not only is it said that what the Lord is, he is eternally, unchangeably the same, the faithful friend, but it's living upon it. I think it was Huntington, wasn't it? In his early days, he had to keep going. It's in the bank of faith. He had to keep going. The Lord has a few dead carp on the pond to supply the family. The Lord sent him those answers of peace from his heavenly Father. Now, it's living by faith as well, isn't it? And that's the great trial of it. Let trouble come, and soon our hearts are full of unbelief. Soon we need the Lord especially to grant that mercy that we are so unbelieving. We read in God's own word, he rebuked them for their unbelief. And many sweet words against unbelief. That sweet part in Luke chapter 18 has been often preached over. This comes to my mind, friends. The parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He said many things. And shall not God avenge his own elect? His own elect. Well, they're his elect, friends, not man's elect. Neither are they such as think highly of themselves. Think if any ought to be saved, it should be them. Oh, it's those. They do see a wandering election. They do see it to be the way to God. If my poor soul be saved, as Christ must be the way as the first elect. The Lord's people are chosen in Christ. And they are such, friends, as are brought near to Calvary's cross. And see there are springing up. For those that I solemnly found out, like Peter, but the Lord looked upon him and he wept. But that's the place for the remedy that God appoints. Oh, but we need the Spirit to direct us. Oh, that sweet truth of Christ going forth unto Calvary. Oh, it's with that great burden of sin and guilt of the whole of the church on him. His love in his heart, and we read in that hymn, his divinity sustained him till nature was dead. That's the God-man. Oh, but the things he entered into. The betrayal, the kiss. Things that were known in such a way as to bring him to turn from the cross, but his love, friends, to one and all of his dear people, a sufficiency of pardon, a sufficiency of grace. We have it in the word of our text. I must leave it shortly. Those things which cannot be shaken may remain, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. Now, I sometimes try to speak about those things that are removed, but things which cannot be removed, they're the things that matter. We may notice many things in life's journey, things failing and shaking, things being removed, but things which belong to him, friends, are things that God's eternal throne supports. And it's a sweet truth, isn't it? The Lord upholds the righteous, and he grants them that strength of his right hand. Now, what is upon my mind is this: it's entering into that kingdom of God below, and then the kingdom of God above. What is in between? Correcting and chastening. The adversities. Be to the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The unknown way, but known to God. Many things we never thought for a moment we'd have to walk in. Things that were beyond all expectation. And things that were in his heavenly wisdom, all to bring us to the Lord in prayer. And friends, where so many are thinking only of the things of this life, their hope is fixed on what they might win here or there, or even more solemn, how they might appear before men. But the child of God, in some sacred way, I've known dear saints of God that, as you see and visit them, and they've got their hearts on things above. They seem to have one foot in heaven, as we might say. They seem to be able to convey something in without words that they're resting upon the finished work of Jesus. They love to hear of him. They love that spiritual conversation. Oh, we seek that God may arise and grant that witness in many hearts. You know, years ago, when I was a lad, we remember it wasn't one of our chapels. I used to be brought up. I lost my mother, taken to a different place. And there was a man who used to sing something like this: "I know where I'm going, promise I will give." I often think about it, but in a different way, that I might know him. I might know his well, and to leave something behind. that may exalt thee, dear Redeemer, as a friend of sinners. Let's leave a very few remarks. We've hardly spoken of it, but it does finally speak of that kingdom which cannot be moved. And let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £850, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a reading service this evening, and Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let's close with hymn 1156. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings bring, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. 1156.
Lord, to bless thee. Sweet lines in the hymn, may Jesus' blood be an all-sufficient plea, and may the Lord grant us his mercy through blood, and do come, Lord, and forgive all amiss. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favour rest upon us from above. Amen.